When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Turf Show Times, the podcast. It's a Rams podcast, and making sure my audio levels are high enough here, so pardon me. But I'm Kenneth Arthur. With me, as always, JB Scott. We talk about the Rams every week, this week, same as the others. And so subscribe to Turf Show Times. If you don't know how to do that, surely by now in the age of podcasts, you can figure it out. So Turf Show Times, you're going to want to hit subscribe. We'll be here every week. We got instant reaction shows after the games. Plenty to talk about, and that is no different. August 25th, 2022, Rams-Bengals joint practices. They had a pretty calm one on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, as happens with every joint practice in NFL history, it seems like a fight broke out. This one may be more wild than others. And now Aaron Donald coming under fire, let's say. A lot of people want to see him suspended after Aaron Donald seen swinging his helmet in the middle of this brawl. And obviously there's going to be people who, we always see this with Aaron Donald. Fans of other teams see Aaron Donald do something in a game, call him a dirty player, want to see him get suspended for it. In this case, I can't say that Aaron Donald will or will not be suspended. Surely the NFL will look into it. And so that is sort of where I'm at. JB, I hate covering training camp fights. It just doesn't seem to go anywhere. I'm not qualified, and I don't know what it exactly. You know, usually these stories don't lead anywhere. But in this case, I know that a lot of people are going to see a guy swinging his helmet around. They'll think of Myles Garrett. They'll think of, you know, other players who have done something like that. And they'll say a suspension is necessary. Let's watch the video here. If you're listening to the podcast audio version, you obviously won't see this. But if you're watching this on YouTube, there's a Turf Show Times YouTube. You can find us over there and watch the video. So I'll hit play on this. There's a big brawl. We see a helmet flying. We see Aaron Donald push down. He's the one that's got the Bengals helmet that's been swinging around. So he is swinging a Bengals helmet that he's obviously, or somebody has taken off of another a Bengals player. It goes on from there. Clearly a lot of emotions and things going on here for Aaron Donald. The audio on this is whoever's filming it saying that he baited him. I don't know if he's talking about Aaron Donald baiting somebody or if somebody baited Aaron Donald. But JB, watching that video, what are your thoughts? Do you have any fear of Aaron Donald being suspended?
Yeah, the first word that comes to mind is violent. So that he was really going after him. You just worry. It's training camp. Hopefully no one got hurt, you know. They have jobs to do come the regular season. So this is a very stark contrast to what reports said about the first joint practice yesterday, that it was the most polite joint practice people have ever seen. And then I went home and watched Hard Knocks last night. I was a day late, of course. But, you know, you have Lions players that whenever they're having joint practices in their training camp, they're a player, you know, I'm going to put my hands up, and if he touches me, I'm going to, you know, start a fight or whatever. So people, you know, players go into the training camp, joint practices with that mentality that, hey, we're going to start fights, and then juxtapose that against the Rams, you know, having the most polite practice of all time with the Bengals, and really tension spilled over today. So, you know, they just beat the Bengals in the Super Bowl several months ago. You know, that can't really feel great for the Bengals to be out on the field with the Super Bowl champs. Maybe they want to get a little bit of revenge at some point. So that could be what you're seeing. But yeah, that's a nasty video from Aaron Donald, and you really worry. David Lombardi from The Athletic, who's the beat writer for the San Francisco 49ers, already kind of parading on social media, comparing it to the Myles Garrett situation, throwing out that 6-game suspension mark and pointing out that if Aaron Donald is suspended 6 games, he would miss the game against the 49ers in Week 4. That's a Monday Night Football game on primetime. So we haven't really seen the Rams without Aaron Donald during his career. maybe the divisional round game against the Green Bay Packers in 2020 is really the only thing that comes to mind. But he's been a steady presence for LA. He's been in the middle of defense, you know, for the better part of a decade. And it'd be weird to start the season off without him. And you're trying to run it back and, you know, defend your Super Bowl champion crown. And he's an important part of doing that for sure. Do you have any thoughts, Ken?
I keep forgetting the mute button sometimes. after the brawl, Adam Schefter saying, oh, this is assault. I posted this on turfshowtimes.com. Adam Schefter seemed very, it was a funny because it's like Adam Schefter didn't just say like, what he said. He was so proud of what he said, he clipped it and posted it to Twitter immediately, which is just like, yeah, what did you see out there? And Adam Schefter, you know, watching the video, and all he could say was assault, you know, so accusing Aaron Donald basically of a crime. And I think whether that's going too far or whatever, if you agree with Adam Schefter, I think this is something that's not too crazy uncommon. You know, obviously it's not common to take someone's helmet and throw it around, because obviously we can just immediately, everybody can point to Myles Garrett because it's so rare, and we can say like, oh yeah, it just doesn't happen very often. I think that situation is going to be different than this situation because we just don't know anything about yet, you know, what started this, and it'll only be two different sides of the story, if not more. And we just have, as far as we know so far, this video. I know that the Bengals and Rams, they also, you know, filmed the practice, and they'll have their videos. And at the end of the day, it's just kind of hard to diagnose exactly what happened here, because it just sort of happened here within the last hour. But I would be surprised a little bit to see a suspension for Aaron Donald, just because it seems so. We also have like a long history of football players, not just of Aaron Donald's level, especially not just being called dirty players, not just being called, you know, sort of like overly aggressive and, you know, kind of going over the line or pushing things too far. Not just saying that happens, but praising the players who did that in the past and saying, wow, what a great thing to be, you know, one of these guys who is called kind of like a dirty player, so long as you back it up by being a great player. And we know that Aaron Donald is the greatest player of his generation. So it's kind of going to be a thing where, what's Aaron Donald's reputation ultimately going to be? Because 99% of the time, he's just kind of seems like a very humble, sweet, big teddy bear with a six pack. And then when it comes out on the field, that's kind of what we're asking him to do, to be the greatest of all time. We're asking him to push himself to limits that go beyond human capacity, and to be, you know, to be that aggressive is what makes him the greatest player of his generation, you know, outside of the quarterback position, which is just kind of like a different thing for me. But do you see Aaron Donald as a dirty player over his 8 years with the Rams, going to his ninth training camp? These moments happen for him, but it's so rare, it's so sporadic, and it's kind of not as clear as it is with Sue, who, you know, is doing things right there that we're like, that's too far, you know, and it's right in our face. Do you see him as a dirty player?
No, not necessarily, but he kind of is a defensive Tom Brady, where, you know, he's been so great for so long that it's easy for people, his detractors, to, you know, start to nitpick at him over time. And he has been accused of real assault by the legal definition, right? And that was like several off seasons ago. And it turns out that maybe you can put more context around this than I can. But whenever people dug into the details, he was actually assisting the guy that accused him of assault at a bar or nightclub or something like that in Pittsburgh. So I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that. But, you know, he's been accused of these things off the field before. Now this is, of course, on the field. But, you know, he was, you know, freed of that charge pretty quickly once people started getting into the details, of course.
Yeah, that was a situation in his hometown, home area, all that kind of stuff, where there was a fight, you know, and then this news comes out the next morning that Aaron Donald has been involved, not only involved in a fight, but he's being accused of assault, and that the person who got, you know, beat up was saying Aaron Donald did this to me unprovoked, and that's the situation, and had a lawyer and everything. And then I remember, like, just writing that story up and being very clear after, you know, the experience that I've had over the years, knowing that, hey, we don't have enough information here, shutting off comments when the first story came out to be like, hey, we don't have enough information. I don't want anyone coming in here, you know, even if you're, because people will be like, I'm trying to defend Aaron Donald for why he committed assault. That's you saying he committed assault. That's what I'm trying to eliminate. You know, people incorrectly accusing someone of a crime to that level when you don't have enough information. And by defending Aaron Donald, which people really wanted to do, I said, now you're saying that this happened. So that's why it's like, hey, let's wait until more information comes out. Not 1 hour later, the news comes out, the guy's full of shit. And, you know, basically that it's, you know, it's Aaron Donald, if anything, was trying to help him from not getting beat up. And that was the story that came out like an hour later. So I'm definitely familiar with Aaron Donald being falsely accused of doing something like committing assault. In this case, again, I think like it's not the same, because clearly Aaron Donald was at least involved in an altercation. So we can definitely guarantee that, you know, we saw him get involved with an altercation. But the question being, okay, now what happened? And is anybody hurt? And, you know, where, you know, what exactly transpired to cause this? So I think that Aaron Donald, to me, there are those players that go too far. I haven't seen him really consistently do that, you know, and he's been out there for what, 127 games in the regular season, playoffs. He's been out there a lot. He's the greatest. He's so hard to, you know, he's the best football player. It's so hard to stop him do the one thing that, you know, teams want their defensive linemen to do. So through all that, and to be that good, and to not have that reputation of ever really going like so far until today, I think it's like a pretty clear record of not being a dirty player. But then again, I it'll be interesting to see how the NFL treats this. If it could result in a suspension, I can't think off the top of my head of any player who's been suspended for a training camp fight, and they happen all the time. JB, can you think of any?
Not off the top of my head. I know the Rams did have some pretty nasty fights when they had joint practices against the Dallas Cowboys a couple of years ago. But nothing, you know, really came out of that in terms of suspension. You see players get kicked out of practice, but that's really the length of it and the extent of it. So that'd be pretty unusual if that does indeed happen.
What would you see as far as like if the Rams did have to play a game without Aaron Donald? It's 2 weeks away, Rams Bills in the opener for Thursday Night Football. And you know, if they had to play in that game without him, you said we haven't seen that very often. We saw a lesser version of Aaron Donald in the playoffs a couple years ago against the Green Bay Packers with his ribs injury, and that wasn't very good. The Rams feel pretty good about their defensive line going into the year around Aaron Donald. You've got Jonah Williams showing out, you know, pretty well here in the preseason. How would you expect that to go, a game without Aaron Donald?
Yeah, and that week one matchup against the Bills, they've had some injuries on the interior offensive line. They've kind of tried to assemble that unit affordably and haven't really invested, you know, made significant investments in star players, something like that. So Aaron Donald should be licking his lips for week one against the Buffalo Bills and really have the opportunity to get after Josh Allen. So if you, that's the weak part of their offense. If you don't have Aaron Donald and you can't really, you know, take advantage of that, Bobby Brown, probably Aaron Donald's backup maybe on that defensive line, is also suspended the first six games. So that's really, it'd be a real big benefit for the Bills. And that's their weak link on offense. And if they can correct that and take the Rams' best player out of the equation, that's a really big disadvantage for the Rams in week one.
Yeah, it's and this is a game where you're talking about two teams that were two of the best in the NFL last year, expected to be two of the best in the NFL this year. That we talked about Rams, Bills, you know, not long ago, I think in last week's podcast. And that's a team that's going to be bringing maybe the MVP of this year's league, this league year here with Josh Allen at quarterback. And, you know, the big hyped up anticipation is Aaron Donald versus Josh Allen. Are you as high on the Bills? Do you see them as the favorite in the AFC?
Yeah, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be the favorite. It's just going to be the AFC in general is going to be such a tough competition that you might see a team similar to the Bengals a year ago squeak out of that, you know, unexpectedly, just because it's going to be so, the margin's going to be so razor thin. But yeah, they're in the herd. They're in the front runners, and there's really no one that's seemingly going to knock them off in September or August at this point. So we're going to have to let it play out over the season, of course.
We're welcoming in a few fans out there because I've tweeted out the link for the first time I've thought to do that. So, you know, to recap some of this Aaron Donald brawl talk for anybody just joining the show, a lot of concern here with Aaron Donald being involved in a altercation at Rams practice against the Bengals, swinging the helmet and not looking as great on video. We'll play the video again if you're watching the video version. JB, we can see this picture here of Aaron Donald, you know, maybe looking like the scariest person alive, you know, just like about to hurt somebody, it seems like, if he wants to,
with that Bengals helmet. Fight with, for sure.
Yeah, and we see in the background there the Bengals player, you know, kind of just like just there, I guess. But because it's clearly here with Aaron Donald. He did stop after he like kind of got pushed to the ground. It seemed like Aaron Donald was able to be pushed to the side. So there wasn't a follow-up on that. Do you think that what are the odds here, you think, of these last 2 days of practices? Wouldn't you at some point, if you were on the Rams, maybe say something like, didn't win the Super Bowl, did you? You know, like something like, well, about the Super Bowl, do you think that would have had any reason to start some fights today?
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Bengals, it really can't feel good, right? And it's an emotional loss. We saw how emotional Joe Burrow was after that game when he, you know, gets tossed around by Aaron Donald, the pass falls incomplete, and he falls down in tears. So, you know, we saw how long it took Sean McVay to go over that 2018 Super Bowl loss to the New England Patriots, and I wouldn't be surprised if Zach Taylor and the Bengals are in the same boat. So, yeah, it's those emotions were going to flying high, and they had the most polite joint training camp practice yesterday. And maybe it was too good to be true. And the emotions really spilled over today.
Okay. Here's an important designation by Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network, tweeting out, "It's clubs, not the NFL, who are responsible for overseeing conduct of players at practice, including joint practices. So fair to say league discipline for Aaron Donald or anyone else in today's fight," I'll just say fight, Tom, "is unlikely." So that would seem to indicate that no, not a suspension coming for Aaron Donald. JB, it seems like if it's up to the Rams, probably safe to say that he'll play against the Bills. So we can maybe rule that out for now.
Maybe a fine is more likely at this point. You know, whenever you have the opening Thursday night game at SoFi Stadium, it's going to be hard to make Aaron Donald sit out of that contest. So maybe it hurts him more to hit him in the wallet, hit him in the pocketbook, and maybe the fine's the better punishment at this point.
Yeah, very true. You know, something to do there. Because, you know, obviously I think coaches, they went in, you know, Zach Taylor, Sean McVay, friends, going into this, you know, thinking, yeah, we're not going to do any tackling. It's going to be a little bit softer out there. Let's just get some things moved in here. But as Julio Zepeda Jr. says here in the comments, it was not a great idea to do a joint practice with the Bengals 6 months after the Super Bowl. You know, one thing about that, Julio, is that Zach Taylor saying this week, you know, that they probably would not have done a joint practice because, you know, they had gone so deep in the playoffs that by the time that it was, you know, they were able to start talking about that kind of stuff, the other teams had already agreed to do joint practices with other teams. Not every team does a joint practice. It's not, you know, a thing that everybody does. So almost these things didn't happen until Sean McVay and Zach Taylor, as friends, got on the phone and decided, okay, let's do it. Let's do a joint practice, you know, and, you know, they've got the preseason game coming up this Saturday. And so they do the joint practice. But I also think you're right in that, it kind of, how, like I said, how could there not be a conversation out there on the field if you're Jalen Ramsey? Of the Jalen Ramseys, you remember that guy, Jalen Ramsey, the guy who talks trash and thinks he's the best and is the best, and you know, all that, where he's out there facing off against Jamar Chase, and everybody else out there in Twitter land and the world is saying like, oh, we love Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase, he's the truth. We love Jamar Chase. He's great. If you're Jalen Ramsey, you're not going to remind Jamar Chase once, maybe twice. Hey, do you remember that Super Bowl? Do you remember that game we won? Like, that's something that sounds like Jalen Ramsey. That's something that sounds like, you know, maybe Aaron Donald, the guy that wants to get in the head of someone. They don't want to hear that you can't tackle or that this is not full 100%. That's why I think it's like these joint practices are recipes for fighting. You can't fight in a game because, as Tom Pelissero notes, these are up to the teams to decide about suspensions. But if you do it in a game like you're Myles Garrett, that's why you get suspended for 6 games. So when you say, let's do a joint practice, that is a recipe for a fight because you've got guys who are not allowed to get into fights with players maybe they don't like, maybe they hate, maybe they're like trying to, they're contained during a game because if they screw up then they lose money, then they lose game time. But if you tell these players now, you get a guy like Aaron Donald, the best player in the world, and you tell him to go out there in a practice. And by the way, if you want to throw a helmet around, nothing bad is going to happen to you. So, you know, if that's the case, then you're asking for these joint practices to be recipes for fights. There's no real consequences. And, you know, I'm not even saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's the fact. It's the fact of the matter that, you know, when you ask these players, that's why every single joint practice, what happens? A fight, a brawl, every single time. I don't like covering them because they're just so boring to me. They happen so often. They're so expected. I don't like writing expected news as much as I like writing unexpected news, which is why I wrote today about the fight. What I was not expecting was for Adam Schefter to go on ESPN and say that Aaron Donald had committed assault. You know, so that's where I was kind of like, oh, you know, that's an interesting story. Otherwise, these just aren't interesting stories because they're so common. JB, do you think that there could that is even, if it's a negative, is that something that the NFL should start to put the hammer down in terms of training camp practices? Because it's really just that differences to me of consequences. The reason that they don't do it in games, if they were told this is just like the NHL, you can get in all the fights you want. It'll make you a bigger star if you do it. You know, it would be a much different sport, but the NFL doesn't like that. Would you change anything?
I don't know if it's gotten to the point where I'd change it, but it really is unfortunate because, you know, we know how controversial it was for Sean McVay back, you know, since 2018 to rest starters and key contributors in the preseason. But these joint practices are such an important part of doing that because you're still getting your starters live action reps against another team. You're maybe making, you know, safety measures to where you're playing on live grass. You're not doing tackling. You're not going all the way to the ground, but you're still doing thuds or you're still clapping the shoulder pads and such, but you're not having as much injury risk, but you're still getting the live work against another NFL team, a Super Bowl caliber team in this instance. So it's an incredibly important reason why you're able to sit your starters in the preseason. And we know most of the league has adopted that approach at this point. And there's still the old guard that's rushing starters out there and playing. And we're seeing guys like Zach Wilson get injured, of course, and it looks worse and worse by the day. But these joint practices are so important to getting your starters ready for the regular season. And if fights are going to ruin that benefit for teams, that's just really unfortunate. And I hope we don't see that.
And you know what else? Another thing, another reason that these fights are almost guaranteed to happen and that they're by design, by choice. I've seen so many. I've covered a bunch. I know how they go. And it's amazing how consistent they are. This didn't happen on Wednesday. This didn't happen in the beginning of training camp on Thursday. You know when this happened? Happens every time on the exact same play. The last play. You know, as soon as it's time for the practice to be over, as soon as that it's like the end, at most what you'll hear is sometimes you'll hear from teams, we had 3 more snaps left. We decided after the fight not to do them. Oh, we had 2 snaps left. This was the last snap. Every single time it's at the end. And if anything, you know, you'd probably do it if you were the defense, you know, maybe that's your cue to start something because, you don't mind taking away the offensive snaps maybe as much as the defensive snaps. So I think like these are not by design, like by choice, like this is what, but it's waiting that entire time and saying consciously in your head, I'm going to have a fight. I can't wait. You know, like this is what it's going to happen. There's going to be a fight. And so that's why they're so consistent. If the Rams and the Bengals, I mean, obviously I don't think we'll see the Rams and the Bengals do a joint practice again anytime soon, but if the Rams and the Packers next year do a joint practice, there will be a fight. There will be a brawl. You know, something will happen. It happens all the time. It's so consistent. And that's just part of the joint practice. I agree, JB, though, that they're like, this is how you get some of these starting reps in. I think that they could be more valuable, and some head coaches say that they are. I believe Sean McVay says that they are more valuable than preseason games. This is your chance to, you know, start oiling up the starters, the major players, getting them ready for the season against other starters, whereas the preseason, especially for Sean McVay, is about, you know, finding out if he's got some future starters deeper on the roster and where his depth guys are going to be and whether or not he should cut X, Y, or Z. Speaking of which, you know, this Saturday is Rams Bengals for the preseason finale. Any final thoughts going into this preseason game as far as the guys that you think need to have the best game? And I don't know how these practices, I didn't hear anything much about who did well necessarily on Thursday, but who's on your mind going into the preseason finale?
Yeah. And you mentioned today that John Wolford he's missing his nail on his finger on his throwing hand, and he might not play. So it might be Bryce Perkins for the entire show Saturday night. But the biggest thing that's on my mind, Logan Bruss, of course, is out for the year. He really struggled in his limited opportunities during the first two preseason games. But who steps up to replace him? Tremaine Ingram seems like the next man up in the interior offensive line. A.J. Jackson is going to be that swing tackle. But can someone like Jeremiah Colon, can Chandler Brewer step up and really earn a spot on the final 53 roster? It's going to be interesting to see it play out. I think A.J. Arcuri, he doesn't play the same position as Bruss. He's a tackle, but he's been promising. Really want to see him. He's really improved from the first game to the second. Like to see him take another step forward this week too in game number three. But there's a lot of spots there on the offensive line there for the taking, and really want to see how that depth shakes out moving forward. Yeah, I think it will be interesting on the quarterback position like we talked about, because you want to get these wide receiver reps. Lance McCutcheon seems like he's faring well with Bryce Perkins too. So maybe at running back, Kyron Williams seems like he got most of the reps with the ones against the Bengals in these joint practices. We're probably going to see Jake Funk on Saturday with Raymond Calais. Do either one of those guys make the roster? I think if they got a shout Saturday in order to do so.
Yeah. Do you think that here with John Wolford, Bryce Perkins, we had a preseason game last week, of course, that saw a bit of both. So are you feeling, you know, we've talked about the odds here of Matthew Stafford missing a game or being held out of a game this season. Are you feeling any differently between seeing Wolford or Perkins in that scenario?
Yeah, Wolford's mobility, I really forgot how mobile he was and his survivability in that pocket. He's just so quick on the outside. He looks like a Mighty Mouse or something running around the edge. So I really did have confidence. He was sacked five times, but really he was under pressure as soon as the ball got snapped and was able to, you know, buy time to get the ball to wide receivers. I do worry if Bryce Perkins comes in a regular season game, does that effectively cover Cooper Kupp and Allen Robbins for the defense? Are they less dangerous threats that the defense has to worry about with him in the game? Just because maybe his legs become the primary threat and you can maybe single up Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson down the field. I think John Wolford gives you the opportunity to maintain the same level of production with your wide receivers with him in the game versus Perkins. So I do worry about the depth at quarterback, but I'm encouraged by what I've seen with John Wolford, albeit a limited opportunity, and he was under constant duress. So take it with a grain of salt, of course.
Do you think that it's a very simple question, offense, defense, what's the Rams' strength this season?
Yeah, I think it's offense. I think it's a wide receiver core. I think they're going to do some big things. Not only do you have the top two in Kupp and Robinson, but you know, they go six, maybe seven deep this year, and that's really exciting. So treat them like a basketball team, give them different skill sets and use them in a variety of ways, and just stress the defense in as many ways as possible. It's going to be cool to see how Sean McVay puts them to the test.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting on the receivers. Are you at all concerned about the running backs? We saw Kyren Williams getting more work now. He's, you know, back from his injury, and Kyren Williams in these practices getting more work and catching passes from Matthew Stafford, and thinking about that, how do you utilize that third down role best this season with regards to Cam Akers coming back and this being the contract year for Darrell Henderson? Are you feeling confident in the Rams running back group?
Not at all. I think aside from edge rusher, it's probably the biggest question on the roster. And, you know, Kyren Williams, maybe he's the Darrell Henderson replacement next year. Not sure exactly how he fits with the offense this year. We're probably going to see him Saturday night in the preseason. That'll be our first, you know, view of him in live action. So is he more of a receiving back? Can he be physical on the run? You know, take the ball up between the tackles. That's a big question that we need to see of him. And Jake Funk, he hasn't really had a lot of opportunities. The offensive line hasn't opened many running lanes, but we got to see him in open field. And I think whenever he's caught screen passes and such, he's been effective. He's been a tough runner after the catch, but there's a lot left to be desired out of these running backs. Training camp might not be the best place to evaluate them because you're not tackling, you're not going to the ground, but you know, if right. running, this is going to put it to the test, whether the analytical community is right, the running backs don't really matter. And because these guys aren't really living up to the hype at this point.
I know that in my conversation with Chris Daniels after the most recent game, and you can check out the instant reaction show that I do after the games with Chris Daniels. He was bringing up that he thinks that the Rams will miss Sony Michel. Would you echo that at all in terms of their particular needs at running back?
No, because I think Sony Michel is so limited as a pass catcher that he didn't really fit into the versatile workload that these Rams running backs have. Maybe there's a better veteran option out there. Maybe whenever teams start cutting down from 80 to 53, that a proven veteran becomes available and you can make a claim for him or sign him to the roster. I don't think Sony Michel was that guy, but maybe someone else out there is. You know, someone well-rounded, of course.
Yeah, and we'll see who gets let go at, you know, the waiver, the trade, all that kind of stuff here at running back. Could definitely be a few names who are capable of playing this season for another team, you know? So there's definitely going to be names like that at running back. I think one of the most interesting positions right now in the NFL is cornerback. It's one where Jalen Ramsey really does stand out as the best cornerback in the NFL. I don't know how often it is that one cornerback can seem so unanimous in that placement, but based on, you know, his whole career from as a draft prospect, you know, to having the whole package as college career and just consistently being, you know, a number one corner year in and year out, being healthy, you know, now he's a Super Bowl winner, all these things going well for Jalen Ramsey. And then there's a handful of guys after him, but then the drop off just seems so drastic and every team is kind of scrambling for, you know, whether or not they have, forget about a number one cornerback. Do they have a couple of number twos, you know, and a good nickel? And it's getting so much harder to defend these players like Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson. And, you know, maybe we'll see Tutu Atwell break out. And, you know, even when you got a Van Jefferson can come out there and get 800 yards. And we kind of, I don't want to say I've forgotten about him, but it's easy to overlook Van Jefferson having missed so much of training camp in the preseason and everything. And certainly Tutu Atwell is coming for those targets, but being a cornerback just seems so difficult to keep up with the talent at wide receiver these days, as well as the league making it harder and harder to sort of defend wide receivers and tight ends and running backs and just the full complement of attacks from the offenses created and then perpetuated and spread by people like Sean McVay over these last, you know, 8 years. So with regards to the cornerback position, how are you feeling about the depth behind Jalen Ramsey going into the season?
Yeah, you're right when you say cornerback's most difficult position, especially with all these talented wide receivers coming to the league. We say it every time we're together that defense is so volatile, and you can have someone like Trayvon Diggs who gets beat as many times as he makes interceptions, but when that happens, you're going to have really great years and you're going to have really bad years. But the fact that Jalen Ramsey can sustain that performance for so long just speaks to what a unique talent he is. And, you know, the Rams have a lot of options behind them. I'm not sure there's anyone, a particular individual that sticks out at this point, but you have the veteran Troy Hill, who can play inside, outside. He's a good run defender too. David Long Jr., by if you ask most of the players or whenever you see their responses on social media or press conferences, they're always saying David Long Jr. is about to step up in a big way in 2022. And then you have all the young guys behind him. Robert Rochelle, you know, big frame, elite athlete. He played in limited action last year, but, you know, due to injuries, didn't see the field a whole lot. Played against the Texans last week, you know, Davis Mills and the starters, and really made some plays, made some pass defenses, and was really impressive to see him. Jacoby Durant was, you know, he had a 90-plus elite PFF grade last week. And Darion Kendrick, you know, we saw he was probably better in the first preseason game than the second, but he's, by all accounts, he's been impressive in training camp too. So someone's going to step up out of that group, but it's a good problem to be 5-6 corners deep. Most teams in the NFL would kill for that, and it's a champagne problem to have. Hopefully you can keep all of them on the 53-man roster and just watch those guys get better throughout the year. Maybe you have to say goodbye to Troy Hill or David Long Jr. this offseason, but you definitely have the depth to replace him moving forward.
Yeah, it seems that way. Definitely some exciting moves there at cornerback. We're going to get out of here for the this week's Turf Show Times podcast. But before we do, JB, as far as the follow-up, you know, the rubber match, the part three of this Bengals-Rams, you know, sort of post-Super Bowl rivalry. What's your any predictions as far as Saturday, predictions as far as maybe who will win the game or if there'll be any fights or maybe a breakout player there for the Rams?
Yeah, I mean, how long can Lance McCutcheon uphold this level of production? He's had basically 80 yards in both games with different quarterbacks. It's been so impressive. Can he do it a third week in a row and cement his spot on the final 53-man roster? It's going to be interesting, but don't really see how you cut him at this point. Maybe you want to see some special teams production out of him. And can Bryce Perkins take over the show? Probably with his legs, but he's been a lot of fun to watch this preseason. He's really been the star of the team, and hopefully he puts on a show Saturday night too.
Yeah, and I'll just add to that as we get out of here, make sure to subscribe to Turf Show Times on your podcast apps. You can also watch the video version of this on YouTube at the Turf Show Times YouTube channel. But yeah, last words on Lance McCutcheon. I think it's interesting these designations as like undrafted free agent versus like a drafted guy. You know, as far as an undrafted free agent goes, basically the same as a seventh round pick. And in Lance McCutcheon's case, I think any team would look at him and go, hey, look, he's a rookie. He's just coming in and he's hot right away. We would take this differently if it was his third year. We would take this differently if it was his second year. We would take this differently, you know, if it had come with, yeah, you're right, like one quarterback. This is coming with no matter who's out there. We, you know, there's so many different ways to designate this. But yeah, as a rookie, giving up that undrafted free agent tag in his head, he's playing like at least a third round pick, right? So, you know, giving some sort of credit there, I agree. I think there's got to be a chance that Sean McVay doesn't play him much, if at all, or if he does play him, or if he already said that he will play him. You know, I know that they want to see additional things from Lance McCutcheon because it will be so difficult to get any playing time this season. And that's probably another reason. Yeah, we'll see him out there on offense because it's not like he's losing those reps that he's going to get in the regular season. Those are still going to other guys this year. So probably a good chance to see Lance McCutcheon and a good chance, you know, to have potentially that other reason, but I don't think teams need any more reasons to believe in Lance McCutcheon, at least as a prospect. I can definitely look around at the rosters and all the number four, number five wide receivers. I'm sure could come up with at least a dozen who I would rather have Lance McCutcheon than. So that's it for this episode of Turf Show Times. Hit the subscribe button. Be back after the next Rams game is this Saturday against the Bengals at 3 p.m. Pacific. The instant reaction show may be Sunday this week as we get ready for the regular season in 2 weeks against the Bills.